Well, not only do we pray for the Sunday school teacher and the pastor, but we need to pray for the instrumentalist too. That's a perfect song. I don't know if you know that song, Fill My Cup, you know, fill it up. And I'm reminded in Psalms, it talks about my cup runneth over. And that blessing that fills us just affects a lot of people. So pray for everybody. Amen. Pray for Richard Lindgren. He makes the coffee in the morning. Amen? And that's probably one of the most important things that the church does is make the coffee. But just pray one for another. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel 37. We will read quite a few verses there. You ever get dry, humdrum? Maybe not about the things of the world, but about the things of God, you know. Sometimes we get into a routine, and things become a form, and they don't excite us. I think we all go through that for health reasons or for problems. Maybe you're weighed down with something. Sometimes that just happens. Sometimes we're dull of hearing. The Bible talks about that in the Bible. So he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. That is, that phrase, that instruction, is found after every one of the churches, seven churches in the book of Revelation. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. I am not the Spirit. It's the Spirit working through. So anytime we use the Word of God, you know, God speaks. And my stories could have a little bit of error in them. Sometimes that's happened. When my wife is in the service and I'm telling a story and she looks at me like that, I think I got some of the facts wrong, you know. But as we read the scriptures, we know that it's true and it's a blessing. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. The song said, fill my cup, Lord. Obviously, that's our desire. Feed me till I want no more. Feed me to the full. He's the living bread. He's the living water. And so all of those things are a blessing for us. There's a verse that says, to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. And sometimes the sermon isn't good, but if you're hungry enough, you can find something in it. Amen? But sometimes if you're hungry or longing for something and you don't find it in the Lord, it can be pretty dangerous. You know, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. You remember the prophet Elisha, and there was a famine, and the people were going and gathering wild gourds that they had never eaten before, and that was poison. And he came and he said, that's death in the pot, and he got everything fixed up. But, you know, we go to God for our answers, amen, for our direction. I think that's just such a blessing to do. When you're hungry, God feeds, and it's good to come to church and be fed. It's good to have your devotions and know God is speaking to you. Ezekiel 37, excuse me. Ezekiel, some people call him the sign prophet because he has a lot of sign sermons in the book of Ezekiel. He is an exilic prophet. He is ministering during the 70-year Babylonian captivity. So the nation of Israel is in exile, so they call him an exilic prophet. There are pre-exilic prophets in the Old Testament before the exile. There are post-exilic prophets after. And so when you know what they're talking about, you know where the book is going. And so it's important. You don't even have to pay extra for that little bit of information. Amen? But He preaches these sign sermons, and he's called a watchman. There's a couple times, and we'll read that as we get to it. But let's begin here, in verse 1 of chapter 37. This is about the restoration of Israel and God's promise to them. And so God's going to do this. And we come to verse 1, and the Bible says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. You remember the old spiritual, the thigh bone connected to the hip bone? Do you know that song? Anyway, there's. I don't know if it's a spiritual. Maybe it's just a song. But anyway, verse 3, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he again said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Now he's speaking to the nation of Israel. They are in the valley of dry bones, very many, very dry. And God is making a promise, there's going to come a restoration. There's going to be coming new life into them. The Bible goes on and says, And I will lay sinners upon you, verse 6, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, Ezekiel says, as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them, form but no life. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. A picture of the Holy Spirit. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Very difficult, difficult place to be in. And it says in verse 12, Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Father, we ask your blessing on the Bible today, on your word. And God, may you speak to us. Lord, encourage us today. Strengthen our hearts today, Lord. May we count our blessings. May we believe your promises. And today is a difficult day, but God, you said that there's mercy new every morning and you're faithful every night. And I pray that you would just give us a solace and comfort. Speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's a great, great chapter. And again, it's a picture. It's something that God is showing the nation of Israel. Again, I mentioned that Ezekiel is called a watchman. And in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 17, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. So that was Ezekiel's commission. Hear my word, God says, and give it to the people. If you have your Bible open to that text, turn back to chapter 33, Ezekiel chapter 33. It kind of repeats the same thing because it's the principle. And God wants to make sure that the nation knows this. Actually, everybody knows this. So we'll begin reading in verse 3, Ezekiel 33 and verse 3. If when he seeth a sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, wakes them up. He's the watchman. He sees the enemy coming, so he's going to warn the people. It says, Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Makes sense? You were warned. You didn't heed the warning, and so there was destruction. It's not the watchman's fault. It would be a personal fault. And it goes on and it says, He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. The exact same verse. Hear the word at the mouth of the Lord and warn. We're told in the book of Thessalonians, warn them, warn the feeble-minded and all of those things. We are to give warnings with our life. We're to speak the truth in love. But if you know the bridge is out and somebody's going 100 miles an hour down toward a bridge that's out, you say, hey, the bridge is out. Amen? And that's what Ezekiel was doing. He was hearing what God said, and he was telling the people that message. In Ezekiel chapter 8, and there's all kinds of things I would like to go into, but time restraints, I've got to keep it under 3 hours. So we'll kind of keep it. But there's a principle how God removed his spirit from the people. It says in Ezekiel chapter 8, the glory of God was in the inner court of the temple where the ark was. In Ezekiel chapter 9, the glory of God moves to the threshold. You've probably read that before and maybe were wondering what it meant. Ezekiel chapter 10, the glory of God then departed from the threshold out into the city. Ezekiel chapter 11, the glory of God went up from the midst of the city and stood upon a mountain. So you see the progression in the temple, to the door, to the city, to the mountain. You see that spirit, that power, departing. Bob Jones Sr. said, no man goes to ruin overnight. It's a process. It's a process of evil thinking or whatever, but it's a process, and that happens. My wife is teaching in Sunday school about where Peter denied the Lord. And we were talking about that last night. And there were 7 steps in Peter's fall. He went from pride, I'll never deny you, I'll die for you, to denying the Lord. And, you know, that's not the message for me today. But he did warm his hands by the devil's campfire, and he followed afar off, and all those different reasons. But it was a process. And he followed the wrong road there, and he made that denial. To grieve or quench the spirit, sometimes there's a lot built up before that happens. The little foxes spoil the vine. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, just a little bit. You have in Ecclesiastes 10:1, dead flies, pleasant thought, amen, in the summertime, that smashed all over your windows. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. And so you see that. Sometimes you let a little bit in, and then it can take us down the wrong road. The captivity had been a long time coming. It had been prophesied. The nation had been warned about this, and yet they neglected the warning. And so hence, that's what Ezekiel is talking about, the Babylonian captivity. And the nation turned to idolatry, even though the warning was there. An individual, a family, a church, a nation can turn from God gradually. Our nation, one nation under God. There's things that our government officials are condoning and enacting that are so far from the scriptures. It's absolutely amazing. And over a period of all these years, you can see it getting worse and worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And sometimes politicians, I've used it before, it's not original, but politics, poly, it means many, polygon, poly whatever, and tick is a blood-sucking insect. So you have politics, you have many blood-sucking insects, you know. And politics shouldn't be a part of what we're doing, amen. There are principles, and so we need to follow God and follow his truth. A family, a church, a life, and a government can turn from the truth. And again, here's a process. 2 Timothy chapter 3, resist the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 4, turn away their ears from the truth. Titus, which is the next book, chapter 1, they turn from the truth. So it is a process. Where the word of God is not precious, The truth has died and it's laying in the streets. And so we come back where we love the Bible. We love the Bible. We're privileged to have a Bible. So privileged that we don't neglect it. We hide it in our heart. So it's so precious that it has to be such a part of our life. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. You're still close there. And we'll read something here. And I'm going to use this story and the one we just read together. We'll, when you hear this being talked about, the sermon is almost over. So pray that you don't hear it for a while. Amen? Because you love preaching, right? Amen? Okay, amen. You have in chapter 16, God is showing how that he called out Abraham from the Ur of the Chaldees, and he made of them a great nation. That's Genesis chapter 12. And the signs, here's another sign sermon that Ezekiel is going to talk about. But let's start here in verse 3 of chapter 16. Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, thy mother a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out into the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee, God passing by, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And it's a picture of a baby that has just been born and cast out into the field. No one to take care of it, no one to keep it alive, and it's in its own blood, and God passes by and says, live. That's the picture of the nation of Israel. And it's a promise from God. And it goes on and it says, I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. Thou hast increased and waxing great. Thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned. Thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord, and thou becamest mine. That's Israel. Amen. That's the Jewish nation. That's Abraham on up. And so God did that, and he says, thou becamest mine. When you were polluted in your own blood, I said unto you, live, and thou becamest mine. He's ours. Amen. I mean, he died for us. We became his. We are children of God. Amen. He's our Father. What a blessing that is, just to know that. But the problem came that if you read the rest of the chapter, we won't take the time to do it. There's a lot of verses there. They went into idolatry again. God saved them. God called them as a nation. And rather than worship him faithfully, they went into idolatry. That's the reason they went into Babylonian captivity. After the Babylonian captivity, they didn't have a problem with idolatry anymore. That was the chastening for it. But the Bible tells us in Psalm 78:42, they remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. Today we're having the Lord's Supper. Sometimes it just can become so duty, you know, just so much form. When God wants us to remember what he has done and what that pictures, and that it would excite us, that it would cause us to love him. We love him because he first loved us. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And we have all of those verses. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And that salvation experience becomes such a reality, and we're so privileged to experience it, that our mind, we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. And when we think of those things that are good and lovely and all that God did for us, it helps us. But Psalm 89:1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. In Psalm 106 and verse 7, our fathers understood not the wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked them at the sea, at the Red Sea. You have scriptures going back and forth. One says they forgot, one says remember. One says they forgot, one says remember. Jeremiah 2:32. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. What causes somebody to forget God? That's why he said, rising a great while before day, he departed into a solitary place and there prayed. That's a picture of our Lord. And we get that manna, it's a picture of the Bible, and they were to gather it every day, every morning, before the sun came up. And all of these pictures about that word being hid in our heart, that we might not sin against God, it's just such a blessing. Psalm 89:1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord with my mouth. I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 104:33. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. In Sunday school today, we're going to teach on physical blessings and spiritual blessings. It's a great message. Amen. I got it off of David Jeremiah this morning. Boy, that's hard to do. To cough when the mic is on. But and I didn't get it from David Jeremiah, but the Lord will really bless us today in Sunday school. There's a hunger for that. Amen. I want to be blessed. I want to hear the Bible and not go to sleep. I want to hear the Bible and be blessed. Amen. Be excited about it. Elijah's brook dried up, but not his power. His power didn't dry up. All God did was prepare him for what he was going to do, and his power and his presence were there, and he won a great victory. Now, if you looked at something by sight, you'd say, there's no way that can be done. But he looked at something through faith, the eye of faith, and a great, great thing can be done. Very many, very dry, can these bones live? So you look at that picture, right? Okay, here's a valley and all these bones, no life, dried out, dead. Can these bones live? Thou knowest, God, only you know. You asking me, can these bones live? Uh-uh, no. But if you tell me they can live, then they can live. Amen? Sometimes we look at impossible circumstances and we say, that's it. But God says, no, something can be done about this with faith. Ezekiel 37:4. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O dry bones. Now, here's what they're saying. Hear the word of the Lord. I'm dry. Hear the word of the Lord. And now the nation responds. Our bones are dried and our hope is lost. Reality. That's how we feel. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within thee? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, for he's the health of my countenance. Amen? Why are you cast down? Well, I'm not cast down. You're cast down. Amen? God knows what our heart is like. So here, the bones are dry. You know, I'm just not excited about it. God, I need something. And God can give us that something. It's hard to work it up. You know what I mean? But God can sure do something. So there's hope now. Him that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen? So we have those verses, draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto us. Promise, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, amen, and bless them. And so the blessing comes from obedience to the word of God. And so God tells a preacher in Ezekiel or whoever who's ministering the word, speak this to my people. And then the people say, yep, I get it. That applies to me. Might not apply to everybody, but something in a sermon applies to everybody. Somewhere, something. And when you find that and you say, yeah, God, I'm kind of dull. I, you know, I, I'm not excited anymore, this, that, and the other thing, that message is for me. Then God keeps speaking. Psalm 119, 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. The psalmist said, I hope in thy word. You might not feel it, but you can hope in his word. Psalm 39, my heart was hot within me while I was musing, thinking, the fire burned. That's where revival starts. It warms us. It puts us on fire. Remember in Revelation chapter 3, the Laodicean church, thou art lukewarm, but you think you have need of nothing, but you're lukewarm. Well, there is a need. If we're lukewarm, that means there's a need. But to be lukewarm and say, I have need of nothing, doesn't receive any power from God. There has to come the realization that, God, I need this. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. In Jeremiah 2:13, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, that's God, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They've refused God, and they've tried to make something of their own hands to replace what God could do for them. Amen? And it just doesn't work like that. The only fitness he requireth is to fill your need of him. That's what he said. That's what the song says. Psalm 63, God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee. Why? I'm in a dry and thirsty land. And that dry and thirsty land dries me out. It chokes the word that it becomes unfruitful. When there's no rain, the crops die. Amen? Unless you have irrigation or something like that. I'm glad I didn't blow my nose. Amen? It can get dry. Do you see the grass getting brown? That's because there's no water. The washing of water by the word. Amen? And so that water of the word, you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. It washes. It gives us nutrients. It keeps us alive. And God says, I can do that. Psalm 143, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as in a thirsty land. I want you, God. I'm thirsty. Psalm 42:2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Can these bones live? I'm dry. I'm without hope. That's what Israel is saying. And can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, God, you know. Why are you asking that? Sometimes he asks questions for us to see what the problem is, or at least to challenge us. You ever get thirsty? Ever get thirsty? Saying, well, no, I don't let myself get thirsty. Well, everybody gets thirsty. I'm trying so you identify with the feeling of that. You're thirsty. Your mouth is dry. Man, I just want something cold, cool, you know, and refreshing, right? Are you thirsty now, or do you feel it? A preacher friend of mine came one time when we were starting the church in Sturgis, and he was preaching for me, and he preached on Jonah, how Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord, and his message was, Jonah got the fleas, and he'd do this, and yeah, he had the fleas, and he'd scratch here, and it's all subliminal, you know, and he'd do this, and you watch, and here's somebody scratching, there's somebody scratching, you know, I got an itch here, and I'll call your name as soon as you do it. All right, anyway, it's so important to love the Lord and to love his word, and you thirst after it, because when you're thirsty and you quench that thirst, it is a blessing. You'll never quench a thirst for God by the things of the world. You'll quench other things, which are right, amen? Sit down to a nice meal, you're thirsty, you want something to eat, that satisfy you. But the things that satisfy the soul, they're different. They are different. John 4, we read about the woman at the well, and she's got a water pot, and and she's talking to the Lord, and she cannot understand living water as opposed to physical water. And the Bible says in verse 14, Jesus said, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a spring of water springing up unto everlasting life." You'll know the difference. And she took a drink of that water. It wasn't a physical drink. It was a spiritual drink. What did that cause her to do? She went back to the city. "Come see a man, told me all things whatsoever I did. Is not this the Christ? I am excited. I can't wait to get you to church. I can't wait to get you to Jesus. Let me tell you about him." That excitement, that's what God does if you drink the right water. Amen? And she did. John 7:38, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." That's good for you, and it's good for all those people around you. "My cup runneth over." Perfect song, Cheryl. Perfect song. Proverbs 25:25, "As cold waters do a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." Cold water, thirsty soul. Good news from a far country. I was really encouraged by this brother that called me, or that I talked to yesterday. And it was just a blessing. It was like a, and I told him that. I told him on the phone. I said, "Man, this is like a cool drink of water from a far country." Georgia's a far country, right? That's pretty far. But what about good news from a far country in your prayer closet or your Bible reading? Just think about it. That's good news from a far country. We read the Bible and it refreshes us. Christian fellowship. Amen? To be with other Christians, to fellowship with other Christians. Preaching and teaching of the Word. The more Word, it quenches that spiritual thirst. It's a blessing. Exodus chapter 15. Chapter 14, the nation of Israel is coming out of Egyptian bondage. In chapter 14, Pharaoh and his armies are destroyed. Chapter 15 starts off with the song of Moses, and Moses is writing this song and singing this song about the horse and the rider are dead and we're free. That's a kind of synopsis of about 10 verses. But anyway, he's excited. He's singing a song. Paul and Silas sang at midnight in prison. Why? They were excited about the Lord. Amen? There's David's song. There's all kinds of songs in the Bible. But that's chapter 15. And we come to the end of chapter 15. And they're out of bondage now. They're pretty happy about that. They just sang a song. Remember the day you got saved? Man, good day, right? Pretty excited. Amen? Amen's okay. You can say amen. But it's an exciting time to get saved. But now, after all of that, now they come to Marah, and the waters of Marah are bitter. Well, I didn't expect this, you know. It says in verse 23, "When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet." The tree was thrown into the bitter waters, and the waters became sweet. It's a picture. It's a picture of the cross. Life is bitter. The cross, life is sweet. God's sweetness. Amen? And it's the only thing that is going to satisfy that. "My throat is dry. I must have water." It quenches your thirst. I got this off the internet, and since I got it off the internet, you know it's true. Amen? Everything on the internet is true. And somebody wrote, "It's no secret that dying from severe dehydration would be extremely unpleasant. It'd be a terrible way to go. You feel dry, tired, weak, and it would continue to be that way for feels like an eternity before you finally expire." There's a spiritual application to this. And God uses that over and over in the scriptures. Here's physical water, here's spiritual water. "It is one of the most agonizing ways to perish. It could take you a week or longer to expire. Your kidneys will fail. Your tongue will swell up inside your mouth. You will lose over half your body weight before you pass. Your brain may shrink so much it ruptures inside your skull. Dying from a lack of water is a terrible way to die. Amen? It's a terrible way to die. It is a terrible thing to be saved and not have that peace and that joy and that comfort that God wants to give. I'm not saying we're always on the mountain. We can be exactly like Israel. Our hope is lost. We're dry. We need life. But that enables God to answer that prayer and to show us how that can be done. He quenches that thirst. In Revelation 22 and verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And him that is athirst, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Freely. What a blessing. Dry bones. I wrote a couple things down about this. It says, can a man live without bone marrow? Because that's a dry bone. A dry bone is not one that still has all of the nutrients inside. Bone marrow makes the components of your blood that you need to survive. Bone marrow produces red blood cells that carry oxygen, white blood cells that prevent infection, and platelets that control bleeding. The absence of bone marrow can be fatal since it's an essential part of your body. It's not just to hold us up, but there's life inside of those bones. It says the most common forms of failure for the bone marrow comes from drugs, chemicals, radiation, viral infections, immune disorders, leukemia, etc., etc. I guess they can give transfusions, but if your bone marrow is bad and it doesn't get better, that's where the life goes, because that's where the life comes from. Amen? Dry, destitute of moisture, free from water or wetness. This is from neglect of water or absence of water. It can be either one. But if we're dry, if it's a form, if there's no excitement, if there's no joy, our hope is lost. God, help me. That has to be the prayer. Can these bones live? Can I have excitement? Can you restore unto me the joy of my salvation? Can you create in me a clean heart? Can you renew a right spirit within me? God says, yes, I can do that. If you come to the realization and call on me to do that. And he's showing us the way. It's with the water of the word. That's what gives life. He's the living water. He's the word of God. The Bible calls him the word of God. And so we take that drink. Bones have many functions. They support the body structurally, protect our vital organs, allow us to move, but the life is in them. It doesn't just do that. If you didn't have any bones, you would be, right? You wouldn't have anything to hold you up. So it's important that those bones have health and structure. Now here's where we're going, and I mentioned this when we started. In Ezekiel 16, when I passed by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, the nation, I said unto thee, live. God says, I said unto thee, live. And I took you unto myself. Amen? And you became mine. We come to Ezekiel 37. Here's a valley of dry bones. Many bones, very dry, very many. Can these bones live? God knows. And he said this, I shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. What happened in between there? What happens between the beginning of that nation and the resurrection of that nation? And when God makes everything the way it should be, but there's a long history inside there, isn't there? And the history is denial. The history is dullness. The history is without hope. The history is all of these things, all of these sins. And yet God says, I want you to live. He will never leave us nor forsake us. I want you to live. And so he gives us eternal life. Amen. If you have that, that's great. And the more you think about it, the better it's going to be. But do you have abundant life? Well, I remember the day he called me. I remember that day when he became mine and I became his. I got saved. I remember that day. Boy, what a wonderful day that was. Remember it. Remember where you were. Remember what happened in your life. Now, we come all of these years. Some of you have been saved at least a year. Amen. Much longer than that. And you look at your life and there have been ups and downs and times of dullness and times of excitement. But what is it like today? God says this, I can make these bones live. I'll quench your thirst. Amen? I will put my spirit in you. I'll strengthen you. That's abundant life. That's how we ought to live as Christians. And here's the whole point of the message. If we're not, the only answer is the Lord. We're not going to find spiritual strength, spiritual peace, spiritual comfort, spiritual joy outside of the Spirit of God. They that worship me shall worship me with spirit, in spirit and in truth. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There it is, Psalm 1. We've memorized it. Amen? We plant that tree by the rivers of water. That could be a church. It could be in the Word. It could be your devotional life. But we read that Word day and night. We listen to it. It feeds us. It cleanses us. That's where the excitement comes back. Amen? Amen. That's what God wants to do. It's so simple. I was talking to a young pastor the other day, and we were talking about churches, and he says it all comes down to the Word. It all comes down to the Word. That's what we ought to love preeminently, because the Word tells us about Jesus and quenches our thirsty soul. It does. Amen? Oh, amen. What a blessing. It's all there for us. Can these bones live? God knows. God knows. I believe they can. But let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, help us to love you with a pure heart. Help us, Lord, to have your joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It heals that bone marrow. God, may we find our joy in you. I pray, Lord, that thy words were found and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. May we feast on the Word. May we memorize it. May we obey it. May we share it. It's all about the Scripture. Bless your people today. Bless us, God. Maybe some are so excited and maybe some are just dull. Whatever the need is, Lord, meet it for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.